morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and verse number 4, here the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The Lord laid this message on our heart, how Satan blinds the sinner. We want to mention some ways that I believe that the devil is capable of blinding the minds of them who are not saved. That's why many times I fear that people don't make moves. They're blinded to their real need of God. The Lord come to give your sight back. The Bible says in Luke 4, verse number 18, I love this passage of Scripture, where Jesus stood up in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to them that's blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." There's a lot in that passage of Scripture. And that's what Jesus came to do. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel." The Scriptures describes sinners as being spiritually blind, totally and completely unable to see spiritual things on their own. To the spiritually blind people, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, brings sight. One of the things I believe that the devil blinds people to, especially sinners, he blinds them to the nearness and sureness of physical death. You know, sinner friend, the devil don't want you to think about that, how close you possibly could be to death. The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter and verse number 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The devil tried to make you believe you got plenty of time and you're not gonna die anyway soon. It'd be impossible for me to die. I'm a young man or I'm a young woman. Well, it's a scientific fact that someday you who are well and alive, and also myself, we are gonna die in this great nation of ours alone. Millions of people die every year. And friend, within a year's time, some of those people will be my friends and my relatives. Your friends and your relatives. And friend, it even could be me. It could be you. The question we must ask ourselves is this: what is going to happen to me after I die? If we want an accurate answer to this question, then we got to look into the Word of God and see what the Bible has to say. And the Word of God makes it clear in the book of Luke and the 16th chapter. And here's what the Bible says: "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, from this passage of Scripture, we learn about several things that will happen after we die. First of all, we learn that after we die, we're still going to be alive. That's both true for the saint and also for the sinner. Now, in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, we can be assured that when Lazarus died, he probably had no funeral. More than likely, his body was taken to the Valley of Gehenna, a place outside of Jerusalem where the refused and thrown burned, amen, and where those that was disposed of, the poor people of that day, was took to this place, and their bodies were dumped there. But no doubt, on the other hand, when the rich man died, I believe that we can rightfully assume he probably had a great funeral. Many mourners there that day. Yes, dear friend, based on human experience, it's safe to say that many people came to mourn when this wealthy man died. Friend, they would have placed his body, no doubt, in a first-rate tomb with all the trimmings. But know this, whether we have lots of friends or a few friends, whether we're placed in a rich man's tomb or our bodies are thrown in the Valley of Gehenna, when death comes knocking on our door, we'll be just as dead as the person beside of us. Yet we see in the story, the rich man and Lazarus, both of them survived death. Whether you're saved or lost, you're going to survive death. You're going to be conscious in another world. The Holy Bible clearly teaches that your final destiny was not going to be down in the grave. Amen. We have confidence in the written word of God. So we see that the state we're in this life determines our eternal state in the next life. That's what we need to think about. How do I stand with God right now, this very moment? Am I prepared for eternity? Amen, friend. If we're dead in our sins, when Jesus comes, we'll be throughout eternity lost without God. The Holy Bible makes it crystal clear that we can know our eternal status. Amen. You can know whether or not you're saved in this life. Amen. The Apostle John in 1 John the 5th chapter. In fact, throughout the whole book of John, I believe it's 38 times, he tells you and I how we can know that we're saved, how we can know that we have eternal life. And he tells us in the 5th chapter and verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And now listen to what he said. He's been talking about how you can know, how you can know. And then he said in verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We need to understand that Christianity is not a hope so, but it's a no-so salvation. Now, I'm not telling you just because the devil comes along and tries to talk you out of your salvation, just because you're tempted to doubt, that don't mean you're not a Christian, because the devil can tempt you along those lines, and he will tempt you along those lines. Now think about this, dear ones. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:23, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Too often we have trouble as the people of God seeing the better life that's ahead of us. I thank God for this life. I thank God for my salvation. I'm enjoying my salvation, but there's yet a better life to come. Amen. We become stuck in the ruts of this old world, amen, that we have a hard time visualizing the life that God has prepared for every one of us as the people of God. But when we shall be with Jesus Christ, the joys and sorrow of this life, whatever they may have been, it's going to pass into the past, and we won't never be bothered by those things again. But after death, opportunities will be gone forever. Sinner friend, when you die, your opportunities is going to be gone forever and forever. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we've learned the rich man had five brothers that he wanted somebody to go warn, lest they too come into this place of torment. He was concerned for his brothers that was yet alive. He became concerned because he was presently experiencing the torments that he knew they soon would also experience if they did not get saved. So we have to commend him for that. Yet, friend, we have to acknowledge that his concern came too late. It was too late for him to be concerned for his brothers. If he had a concern for his brothers while he was alive, while he was still in his right mind, he should have got saved. He should have got right with God. And he possibly could have been used of God to lead his brothers to the Lord. But he failed to do that. You see, my brothers and sisters, if we had just sat down and consider all the people that we come in contact with on a regular basis, they're my friends. They're your friends. They're my neighbors. They're your neighbors. They're my relatives, and they're your relatives. My acquaintances and your acquaintances. We would realize that we personally know a lot of people who need Jesus Christ. Thank God for the mission field. But everybody can't go to the mission field and go to Africa and India. But we all have a mission field sitting at our front door. There's somebody, surely, that we could win to Jesus Christ. Some will say, like the rich man, oh, if someone was sent from the dead, then I would repent of my sins. Well, Jesus Christ has been dead. He returned from the dead, and he sent a message to the world. It's a message of love. And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the moment you die, opportunity will be gone forever. For both saint and sinner. Saints, we too need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have while we're still able in this life, because once we die, once the end of time comes, we can't recall any of those opportunities. You and I are responsible for communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. After death, our destinies will be sealed. We determine our destiny in this life. Sinner friend, you're in the process of determining your destiny. And so we all have a choice of whom we're going to serve. But know this, my brothers and sisters, whatever we choose in this life cannot be changed after death. Don't believe the thought that if I fail to get saved now, I'll have another opportunity out in the millennial somewhere. No, friend, you won't. There's not going to be a millennium. Today is the day of salvation. Abraham told the rich man, there's a great gulf separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here is stopped at its edge, and no one there can cross over to us. There's a great chasm that's fixed between heaven and hell. And once we pass on, friend, there's no more choices. We've made our last choice when we find ourselves in eternity. Once we've gone, we cannot pass over from one side unto the other. There are but two destinies, heaven or hell. The second thing, I believe that the devil blinds sinners to, and the second coming of Christ. The devil blinds people to the second coming. They live as though time is going to go on and on, but it's going to come to a screeching halt. My Savior said in the book of Acts, the first chapter, when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." What about you, friend? Have you ever repented with godly sorrow and trusted Jesus Christ for your Lord and Savior? Friend, if you haven't, you're playing on dangerous grounds. You're gambling with your soul. You need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all your sins and place faith in the Son of God. I pray that you'll turn to him before it's everlasting too late. He is coming. The devil don't want you to think about it. He wants to blind you to the sureness that of physical death, and blind you to the fact that this thing's going to come to a screeching halt one of these days. And I tell you what I believe. I don't know what you believe, but I believe he's coming soon. I believe he's coming suddenly. I believe he's going to find a lot of people sleeping. And I also believe that Satan blinds the sinner to the danger of resisting the Holy Ghost. When I see people hear the gospel, listen to the gospel, but they leave like nothing's ever been said, must be because Satan has blinded their minds to the danger of resisting the Holy Ghost. I don't think any sinner really can comprehend the danger of resisting the Holy Ghost. Sinner friend, if you could really understand and realize the danger of saying no to God, you'd get saved. Genesis 6:3, the Bible says, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God can be just and never convict you again. You just think for a moment, those people in Noah's day, they had one preacher of righteousness that had been warning them. And you know what? God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God gave up on that generation of people. And if God gave up on that generation of people, friend, what makes you think he won't give up on you if you keep on hardening your heart and you keep saying no to the Holy Ghost? The Bible says in Acts 7:51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." Here Stephen declares that the people to whom he was preaching and their fathers resisted the Holy Ghost. You know what? If they understood, if those people that day that Stephen was preaching to understood the danger of resisting the Holy Ghost, if their fathers somehow hadn't been blinded like they were blinded and realized the danger of resisting the Holy Ghost, they would have took heed to the message. But them people is like some, they're blinded to the fact of how dangerous it is to resist the Holy Spirit. There's a time we know not when. There's a place I know not where. When every man crosses a line to salvation or despair. I appreciate the song that says, "There is a line that's drawn by rejecting the Lord. When the call of his spirit is lost, as you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng, have you counted the cost?" There's a danger about which you must be warned. It's the danger of resisting the Holy Spirit and trifling with divine truth.
Because it is written in the Holy Scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse number 1, that he that being often reproved and stiffeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This is my warning to you, that if you trifle with God Almighty and the gospel of grace, if you hear and yet despise the gospel of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are flirting with the judgment of God and courting the wrath of God. But see, you don't see that. And the reason you don't see that is because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that see not. My prayer for you that somehow that blindness could be taken away long enough for you gain a real experience with Jesus Christ. Because how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are we going to get out of this? How are you going to escape the damnation of hell when you neglect so great a salvation? It's possible for men and women, even young people, to sin against the light of the Holy Scriptures till the light is taken away and becomes darkness. That's what my Lord taught in the book of John, the 12th chapter, when he said in verse number 35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light, that you may not be. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Light despised becomes darkness to the soul. That's what causes the blindness. While you have light, he said, believe in the light. It's possible for men and women to persistently reject the truth of the gospel, that God gives them a refuge of lies and leaves them to perish of a false comfort and a false hope. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not a love for the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The Word of God teaches that it's possible for men and women and even young people to be so given over to idolatry and religious superstitions and wickedness and corruption that God will give them up completely to their evil hearts and their evil minds. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you don't believe it, friend, you turn over some time and read the book of Romans from verse number 1 to verse number 28. There you find that God turns people over to reprobate minds. That's a mind that's void of understanding. I'm talking to you about something you don't play around with. Amen. It's possible for a sinner to so resist the Spirit of God, they become reprobate and damned even while they're yet alive. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, 4th chapter and verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Listen to what God said about the Jews. God said in John 12:39, therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. You'd be wise to consider the possibility that if you continue to resist God, he may cut you off. And if God cuts you off, you will perish forever. What is it? How does a sinner resist the Holy Ghost? To resist the Holy Ghost is to ignore God's word, to ignore the judgments of God, to ignore the voice of God, to ignore the Spirit of God and the influences of the Holy Spirit upon your heart and upon your soul. Stephen lets us know why people resist the Holy Ghost. He said, because they're stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. People's hearts are dead and filthy. Their ears are deaf. They can't understand. If a person is totally blind, it won't help him to replace the 15-watt bulb with a 500-watt bulb, because his problem is he cannot see. He must be given eyes or he will never see. And even so, the sinner must be given a heart to believe, ears to hear, eyes to see, or he will never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet your rejection of the gospel, your unbelief, is your own fault. The blindness of your heart is your fault. You're lost because you chose not to repent. You chose not to surrender to Christ. And people who resist the Holy Ghost, blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, is people who knew about Christ. People who knew what Christ did for sinners. People who knew where to find salvation. And people who knew how to obtain it, but they rejected. What's the results of resisting the Holy Ghost? I don't have time to read all the scriptures, but in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 24 says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof." You know what God said? "I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh." He said, "Then they shall call upon me, but I'm not going to listen." Letting us know you're not going to get saved when you get ready. You'll get saved when God gives you the opportunity. Eternity is a long time. Nothing the devil can offer you is worth being lost throughout eternity. Where will you be 1 minute after you die? Sinner, you've got to make a choice. This is the day of salvation. If you resist the Holy Spirit, let me remind you, you're flirting with the judgment of God. You're courting the wrath of God. And that's a serious thing to do.
Thank you again, Brother Dishman, for those sobering thoughts. Our desire again, dear ones, is to see souls saved, to be able to see them live with a victorious life and be able to make heaven their home. Now, in behalf of Pastor Roger Decker, we'd like to extend a warm welcome to you to each of our services here at God's Acres. The service times for today will be 9:30 in Sunday school. The morning worship will begin at 10:45, and the evening worship will start at 6 o'clock. If you would like to have transportation to the service, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. That's 740-345-1213. I see that our time has gone again, but before we leave, this is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next week at the same time. So until then, we trust that God will give you a good week.